We just finished talking about Oregon and plans to phase out all power received from coal-burning power plants by 2030. Now we'll shift a few years, maybe a few weeks into the future, and talk about solar cities. Five cities in Oregon are moving aggressively toward more installations of solar power generating sites. Eugene and Ashland are among the five. The organization Environment Oregon is a major player in the solar cities effort. Charlie Fisher is an advocate with the group and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Charlie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Give us a little background, if you would, about Environment Oregon and its various endeavors.
Of course. So Environment Oregon is a statewide citizen-based environmental advocacy organization. We actually work on a lot of issues in addition to clean energy, from protecting our clean air and clean water and open spaces. But basically our idea is that the state of Oregon is a pretty great place to live, and we want to keep it that way, whether by promoting clean energy or protecting our special places in the state.
So you're working with five cities within Oregon. Can you name them and tell us how they became your partners?
Yeah, absolutely. So the five cities are Lake Oswego, Milwaukee, Corvallis, Ashland, and Eugene. And essentially the way that we chose these cities is we knew that they were cities that had already taken actions and stated support for clean energy. So really we just wanted to kind of build on the successes that these cities have already had and set bold solar goals in those cities and really kind of ramp up solar so we can create a model for other cities to take and really run with if they want to.
So in a sense, they picked themselves because they'd already been making some inroads on greater solar installations.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Was it easy picking Eugene and Corvallis because they're both environmentally friendly and rivals as well?
Of course. Yeah, the rivalry maybe didn't play into it as much as the solar leadership, but you know, if you can throw in a little bit of competition, it's always a good thing.
So when you talk about solar leadership, give us an idea of what that means and how aggressive some of these cities have been in what they've done so far.
Yeah, exactly. So currently, amongst the five cities, they have about 11 megawatts of solar power installed. So basically what that means, if you assume that each rooftop solar system has about 5 kilowatts, that's about the equivalent of 2,200 solar rooftops. Now, certain cities in this list are more ahead of others, but really we think that, you know, starting from our strengths is the way to go, and we think that other cities can follow them.
So what are you asking of each of these cities then?
Yeah, absolutely. So I should say this kind of comes out of our understanding that we do have a lot of solar potential in Oregon. but, you know, in the state and even in these cities, we're not quite living up to it right now. So we actually get less than 1% of our energy as a state from the sun when, you know, we could be repowering our entire state with energy that never runs out and creates jobs in Oregon. So with that in mind, there are certain actions that the state can take which implementing community solar, which is a provision in the larger bill that was being discussed earlier in the hour. But at the same time, there's plenty that local communities and governments can do, like setting bold solar installation goals over 5 years, and then passing policies like streamlining permitting and actually installing solar on government buildings and having the city kind of be a one-stop shop for answering any questions that residents might have about the logistics of installing solar or the cost of it. So we really think that while there's a lot of work that needs to be done at the state level, cities independently can be working to promote solar and educate their residents and kind of set the path forward for where they want to be going.
Now, I notice in the materials talking about this from Environment Oregon, you're talking about proposing a 245% increase in solar power in the cities over 5 years. That's more than three times your current capacity. Why that number?
Well, the biggest reason is just because solar is growing so quickly right now. Nationally, installed solar capacity grew by 30% in 2014 alone. So if you extrapolate that out to 5 years, that's actually a tripling of solar capacity in just 5 years. So we think that with solar growing so quickly, and with the costs of solar panels coming down and the understanding amongst people, I think, across the state and across the country that it is really turning into a viable energy source that can save you money on your energy bills, we think that, you know, actually, potentially we could set these goals even more ambitiously if we wanted to, but we wanted to start here.
Was there some discussion with the cities about pushing a little harder, maybe going to 300 or even higher percent?
Well, it kind of depends on the initial starting point. So, you know, in Milwaukee, for example, which it doesn't have that much solar installed at this point, we actually are likely going to be setting a goal in the next couple months that would triple solar in the next 5 years. In Ashland, however, Ashland, you know, per capita is actually pretty far ahead of Milwaukee, for example. So while they still have room to grow, we didn't want to set a goal so ambitious that, you know, maybe they wouldn't be able to hit it. So that's why their goal is more is closer to just a little bit over doubling rather than tripling like in Milwaukee.
Charlie Fisher is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a clean energy advocate at the group Environment Oregon, which is working with five cities in Oregon to expand solar capacity: Eugene, Ashland, Corvallis, Lake Oswego, and Milwaukee. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Jeff in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thanks very much for taking my call.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I'm very pro-solar. I just put in a really large solar array on my house to try to take it net zero. And, so I'm really supportive of your guest and putting in more solar. I would just say that, you know, your previous caller that was talking about the Blue Sky program, I think that there's some interesting things that happen when you talk about these renewable energy credits that people are buying, and that, in fact, now I'm a renewable energy generator as a solar producer. And, you know, the fact is that those credits aren't necessarily putting in additional alternative energy, but they are going to the power company. So it's kind of like this commodity that they've made up for every 1,000 watts of power that you generate, but it's not it's not necessarily going directly back into alternative energy as they kind of indicate.
Okay, good to know. Thanks for that, Jeff. Appreciate it. And Charlie, do you have any enough knowledge to be able to help him with that? About
not
what the Blue Sky programs
completely.
Do?
I would say I would agree to the extent that installing solar yourself is a much more tangible and certain way to actually add new renewables to the grid. But I would think that, you know, anything that we can do, including the Blue Sky program, to incentivize and promote clean energy generally is a good idea.
Any idea how many people have gone for the Blue Sky program through Pacific Power?
I don't, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about getting greater installations of solar energy. And we kind of left off talking about the technology and the cost. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how different is today's solar panel from a solar panel you could get 10 or 20 years ago, both in what it can put out and in what you have to put into it in money?
Absolutely. So that's one of the great things about solar, is that the cost of solar panels has just come down so precipitously over the past even 5 years, and the efficiency has really increased. So we're getting to this point where solar is close, not quite, but close to being cost competitive with, you know, traditional energies like coal and other fossil fuels. So it's pretty amazing that we're at this point. And I would just say that, you know, as more people install solar, to bring up communities solar again, as we allow more people to install solar who, you know, can't potentially do it on their roof, the costs are going to continue to come down through economies of scale. And I think we're just going to see increased growth over the years.
We are talking strictly photovoltaic here, right?
Correct.
Electricity. Okay. So let us take another call. We have Mark in Redding on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Charlie Fisher from Environment Oregon.
Yes. When I was in New Jersey last spring, I noticed that every street lamp I saw had a solar panel on the top of it. And I was wondering if that would be feasible in the state of Oregon.
That's a good question. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. Charlie, thoughts?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, and I think it's a legitimate question that people often have here in Oregon, where I'm looking out the window and I don't see even any hint of the sun. New Jersey is a great example, because they don't get any more sun than we do, and yet they have so much more solar than we do. Massachusetts is another example, and then, you know, the leader in solar across the world is Germany, which is a cloudier and darker place than Oregon is. So we have Oregon has so much potential for solar, and we certainly could be doing what's happening in New Jersey. We just need the policies in place to really incentivize it, and we need the leadership to really know where we want to go.
Mark brings up a great question, though, because in years gone by, you could drive down the highway and you'd see installations like, the motorist aid call boxes and other electrical installations out there that needed power with commercial power hooked up to it. Quite often now, you'll see solar panels on things like that. Have we reached a tipping point where it's almost automatic that when you put in a new sort of remote electrical installation, there is a solar component to it?
You know what? I would assume so. I think especially, when there are things that are hard to get to, or you wouldn't want to have to get out there if you didn't have to replace a battery, then it makes complete sense to slap a solar panel on there instead of hooking it up to the grid.
We're talking to Charlie Fisher at Environment Oregon, where he's a clean energy advocate, about solar cities, five cities in Oregon that are pushing aggressively to meet targets to increase solar electricity generating capacity. Ashland and Eugene among them, also Corvallis, Lake Oswego, and Milwaukee. You can join this discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You've got some guidelines you're working here with from the U.S. Energy Department. How do those help the process or help guide it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the great thing is there are so many good resources for things that cities and states can do to incentivize solar and really make it a priority. The Department of Energy, one of the things that they recommend for local governments is for cities to set a goal when it comes to solar. This does a couple things. First of all, it kind of provides an incentive for current and probably more importantly future lawmakers to continue to make solar a priority. So planners in the city in future years, they always have to be thinking about how they can work solar into every aspect of planning for the future, whether it's building codes or anything else. Second, it's a great way to evaluate the success of other solar programs the city adopts. So if there's a tangible number that you're driving towards, obviously, it can really inform, what the best thing to do is and where you can get the most bang for your buck. And then lastly, I think there's just the examples that have cities and states that have already set solar goals that also happen to be leading the way. For example, the city of Portland in 2009, as part of their broader climate action plan, they set a goal of installing 10 megawatts of solar by 2012. And they exceeded the original goal ahead of schedule, with 15 megawatts installed by the end of 2013, and they just updated their goal to double that to 30. So there are just lots of steps that cities can take to make solar a priority. And the other thing I would say is, and this is something that the city of Ashland has already agreed to do, is the city can really be an educational forum. It's a trusted source, and so the city of Ashland is actually organizing a community solar workshop this Saturday, bringing together local solar installers and experts in the city. It's at the community center at 2 p.m. And these are things that cities can do to educate their residents about what's available to them and provide an easy place for their residents to get questions answered if they ever thought about installing solar themselves.
And I see there'll be people from the city there and from True South Solar and Alternative mm-hmm. Energy Systems and Oregon Solar Works, so all kinds of people who know something about solar power to be at this workshop. That'll be Saturday 2 to 4 at the Community Center on Winburn Way in Lithia Park in Ashland. Will you be there, Charlie?
I will.
Okay, good. Let's get another call in here. Michael in Wonder, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Charlie Fisher from Environment Oregon.
Thank you. Good morning. I could speak to the cost of installing a solar system. I did that this summer, installed a 6-kilowatt system that is ground-mounted because I have a big tree right in front of my house and that I didn't want to cut down for, for the power.
Mm-hmm.
So when all the incentives and tax credits are done, which probably will take 4 or 5 years for me, I will only have paid about 1/3 of the cost. So 2/3 of the cost of a system is being paid right now by incentives. And so there's never been a better time for private households to have their own power generation system.
And Michael, since you've had a month or two of winter now to kind of gauge the difference in your power bill from a year ago, what are you noticing?
I think the first 3 months that we got a bill, it was we didn't get charged for any power. We had a credit. The way the system works is when you are generating more than you're using, the power goes into the grid, and it's like going into a bank. So I had a power credit until the month of December, and in the month of December, our first bill was for 20-some dollars, and this month our bill is about half of what it was for January of last year.
Okay.
So we've worked off our credit, and right now we're paying for what we consume. You know, we're generating a little bit because there isn't as much sunshine. But come April and May and June, when we get more sun, then we will again have a credit, and so we'll be zeroed out.
All right, Michael, thanks so much for sharing the nuts and bolts of your installation and wonder with us. Very much appreciate that. Charlie Fisher at Environment Oregon, one of the barriers that you cite about what stops more people from installing solar installations is the cost up front, which Michael pretty well detailed. I mean, you're going to have to spend some money here, but you get a lot of it back from the sounds of it.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, and it's pretty amazing the amount of incentives that you can get. There's a 30% federal tax credit that was actually recently extended at the end of last year, a unique example of bipartisanship in Congress. And on top of that, in Ashland, you can get up to $7,500 in a cash incentive, as well as getting credits on your bill. So, the upfront cost still is a barrier for some people, but as the costs come down, it'll be a barrier for fewer people. And then I would say the other thing is, I think your caller, I think, described a situation that is true for a lot of people where they just can't put solar on their roof because they might have a tree or it's facing the wrong direction or any other reason, or they rent. So one thing that cities can adopt if we're able to pass the big no coal bill that includes a community solar provision is something where individuals would be able to purchase a panel or a series of panels in a community solar garden located somewhere else in the state and then get all of the benefits as if it was right on their roof, including bill credits and everything else. And at the same time, because the array is so much larger than what would normally be on a just one person's roof, the cost overall of the system goes down because of economies of scale.
In a sense, you're a stockholder in the system, but you're buying in with a bunch of other people to buy a solar system that's not located right on your property.
Exactly, and actually even better than a stockholder, because you actually own the panels themselves. So you can purchase a couple panels, and then all of the energy that those panels generate come right back to your utility bill.
Now, this has to be allowed through legislation, and you mentioned that this is actually tucked into the bill we talked about earlier to get Oregon off of coal-fired electricity by 2030?
That's right.
Interesting that they're tucked in there together. What's missing right now in Oregon law that does not allow community solar? Is it just the purchasing apparatus or something?
Yeah, the thing right now is just that utility companies aren't required to provide a credit on people's bill for the panels if they were to purchase one that isn't on their roof. So currently the law, if you have a panel on your roof, then you are required to be able to get bill credits as long as you check off a couple boxes. But currently, as the law stands, you are not required to get utility credits for purchasing panels in a community solar garden.
All right. In addition to upfront costs that daunts a few people, complexity for consumers is mentioned as an issue, too. I mean, how complicated is it?
Well, I think people have a view of it being complicated, and that isn't necessarily the case. But, there's so many different contractors out there, and, it is kind of confusing where you get your incentives and what the tax credits look like and everything else. So that's why we think that a city can be a good messenger for kind of cutting through all this confusion by organizing workshops or having something really simple on their website that people can look at to look at everything that they could potentially need for installing solar and then be able to check those boxes off in one place and know whether it's right for them.
Charlie, in general, are cities ready for all this? I mean, do they have their zoning and their fees and all the standard hoops for construction and installation lined up so that they'll be helping solar people, or at least not hindering them?
It depends on the city. The city of Ashland has a very good policy in this regard, actually, you know, going further than probably a lot of other cities in protecting people's solar resources. So if, you know, somebody can't build a big high-rise if they've already installed solar on the house next door. But that is another thing, is what cities can do in terms of permitting is streamlining the process and making sure that fees are, you know, a reasonable assessment of how much time it takes for the city to inspect the system and move the permit through the process.
The workshops like the one you'll be taking part in Saturday in Ashland, I mean, what will people generally leave with that they didn't come in with?
Yeah, so they'll leave with a knowledge of whether or not their roof is likely suitable for solar. They'll leave with the knowledge of how much it's probably going to cost them up front and how they're going to get payback over the course of the system. And then they'll actually be able to, you know, talk to contractors themselves who are based in the local area, build a personal relationship with them, and be able to kind of choose who they want to go with and have a much more personal and personalized experience than if they just kind of went on somebody's website.
Ashland, one of five solar cities, Eugene another, Corvallis, Lake Oswego, and Milwaukee round out the bunch. The Ashland session, Saturday 2 to 4 at the Community Center on Winburn Way. Charlie Fisher from Environment Oregon will be there as well. Charlie, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.